Take your outlines, if you've got them. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. As we draw our attention to the Lord's Supper, this is a passage that reminds us of what Christ has done for us. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. And we're looking at the matter of peace through the cross. Colossians 1, follow along as I read these few verses, 19 through 23. For in Him, in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. If there ever was a time in our history and in our country that we needed peace, it's now. We see so much unrest, violence, and uncertainty. But as much as we need peace in our country and between our fellow men, we need the peace of God even more. That is our greatest need. And so in this passage, the first point I want to make us aware of that will make us appreciate this time with the Lord's Supper even more, it's recognizing, number one, the precarious position of needing peace. Folks, we need peace. We need God's peace. And here Paul is reminding the people at Colossae how much they needed God's help. You see, we tend to forget how bad off we were. We will not embrace the cross and what Christ has done for us until we appreciate how badly we needed Him. What was their precarious position that Paul is talking about here? He said, you once, verse 21, you once were alienated. Now, in the presidential campaign and in all the process of the campaigning, we heard about aliens at different times. Illegal aliens was often the comment that was made. Sometimes when I think of aliens, I think of people from Mars, but that's not what we're talking about here. They may look at us, the world may look at us as Christians and think, man, they are from Mars. But in the scripture before us, when the Word of God uses alien, it refers to an outsider, a foreigner, a stranger. And when it talks here about alienated, it means separated from, detached from, on unfriendly terms. That was the Colossians' position before they trusted in Christ. They were alienated, separated, detached, on unfriendly terms with God. Sin had separated them from God. And he's reminding them that we need to come to the realization that we were in that situation before God got a hold of our lives. And we see it again acted out all over around us in violence. Our alienation from God is being acted out among our fellow men. Well, what else was their situation or their position? They were hostile in their minds. The word hostile, we understand, it means hateful, against, enemies. Do you remember in your life what your thinking was before you came to know Christ? Were you in wholehearted agreement with the Word of God? Did you look favorably and love the Savior? My guess is no. If according to the Word of God, our position was we were hostile in our mind. We had turmoil going on. We didn't want to admit that we needed help. We can handle our life on our own, thank you. I don't need God telling me what to do. And so that was the thinking of the Colossians, and probably for many of you before you came to know Christ. So we find here that alienated, hostile in their minds. And third, he says, you were doing evil deeds. Again, in verse 21. In other words, you were engaged in evil behavior. I don't think that any of us in this room would have trouble realizing that we have done some pretty nasty things. Some of us were raised in Christian homes, and as young kids came to know Christ in the process. Sometimes we can't pinpoint the date, but still we know whether it was before Christ as a young kid or later on, even in our saved state, we have done some pretty wretched things. We have done evil deeds. And he's reminding them of the fact that we have done things that have really disqualified us from having a relationship with God altogether. And the point here is that God has taken you who were once enemies and he's made you his friends. And the point here is that we need to embrace the cross. We must never get too far away where we recognize we were in a terrible condition, precarious position, before Christ reached down and provided hope for us. Second, that brings us to the provision. We were in a bad way, and yet Christ provided peace. Look at verse 20. And through him, through Christ, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And then in verse 22, and he has now reconciled you in his body through his death. We have all experienced situations where we've had problems with someone else. Maybe said some things, we've done some things, we've broken the relationship. And as a result, there is no peace. There's turmoil, there's frustration, there's hurt, misunderstanding, all the opposite of peace. And when it happens, we can't sleep. We can't stand it until we get it right. And boy, when it's right, we feel so good. The relationship is restored. Things are right again. There's a breath of fresh air. And in this passage, it's saying here that it's possible to have that only because God has provided a way for us to be at peace with him. In verse 20, it's talking about he's reconciled all of creation, heaven and earth, through the blood of his Christ. Do you realize that even creation itself is groaning because of the effects of sin? It's longing for the day when Christ will be in complete control and makes things right. Verse 22 then zeroes in and he says, and he's reconciled you, Colossian believers. And for now, and you believers at New Life Baptist Church, he's provided peace for you. You didn't deserve it, but he's provided it for you through the death, his fleshly, bodily death on the cross. Paul wants believers to realize that it's possible to have peace with God only because of his provision. He made it possible through his blood. Sacrifice had to be made. We think of the parallel even in our own country. The freedoms that we enjoy, the peace that we enjoy, even in troubled times, is because men and women have sacrificed their lives so that we can have this freedom. And this is the same thing we're talking about here. We can only have peace with God because of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, of himself. The key word in the text before us is reconciled. It means to be brought back into a right relationship with God. It means the sinner who was the enemy, now is provided an opportunity to be his friend. Where there was hostility, now there's peace. I'd like to read a quote from James Boyce. He said this about reconciliation, a big term, but precious term. Reconciliation teaches something remarkable about the character of God. He befriends his enemies. He loves those who hate him. He offers peace to those who have waged war against him. Although he is the one who has been wronged, he is the one who makes things right. He does all of this while the battle still rages. And Romans 5:10 says this, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him by the death of His Son. So, according to the Bible, we were in a wretched condition, a terrible position, needing peace, needing God, and only God could provide what we needed most through His shed blood. So this morning, as we participate of the Lord's Supper, I encourage you, embrace the cross. That is where we find peace as we look to Jesus, for Him as our only hope and peace. And by embracing the cross, you know what that means? We don't take a cross and hug it. We just embrace Jesus Christ and all He has done for us. I am reminded almost weekly of the hopelessness in our community. You would think in a neighborhood like Lake in the Hills or in the McHenry County that people have their act all together and there's no needs here. Oh my goodness, I see it all the time. And couples that come and want to be married and couples that are struggling with life and worried about all kinds of problems, and how wonderful it is to be able to point them to Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I have the message of the gospel. Do you realize we have hope? People with problems is my job security. there's a lot of work out there. In fact, the work is almost overwhelming. But, you know, I'm thankful that you're on the team with me, because there are so many people in your lives that I could never touch. And so as we rub shoulders with each other on a Sunday morning, as we worship together, we encourage each other to go back out into the battle, back out into the fray where there is hopelessness, where there is no peace, and we can offer the message of hope through Jesus Christ. As we look at our text before us, we have even in verse 23, it talks about the hope of the gospel, and people need that hope. So what have we considered so far? First, we've seen that we were in a precarious position, and God provided peace. Let me pause for just a moment to just mention sometimes the mistakes that people make today as it relates to coming to Jesus. First, I think that there is an attitude among a lot of people today, religious people, that I'm not that bad. And when I go to die, like as if we have any say in that matter, I can sort of call upon Him when I need Him at that time, but I want to live my life now. I'm really not that bad. I don't need a Savior. I've only done a few bad things. I'm not as bad as somebody down the block. That is a danger of feeling secure in ourselves. And the Bible reminds us over and over again that we are in a heap of trouble. The other thing that I think there's a danger on the other side of the coin is that we think I'm too bad. Pastor, if you only knew my life and what I've done, there's no way that God could forgive me. Well, I see some pretty nasty people in the Word of God, and I see Christ's grace sufficient for them. No matter how messed up our lives may be, we have not done things that are too bad for God's grace. Amen? That is a precious truth. So friends, we can have peace with God. It's available to us. Number three in our outlines, the purpose of providing peace is found in verse 22b. It says, He's reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. I think He's not talking so much about the idea of living a holy life, though that's important and it's everywhere in the Scripture. I think He's talking about, in order for you to be right before God, in other words, holy, blameless, and above reproach, you cannot do it without the provision that Christ has made of Himself. You cannot go around Christ in any way. It's only through Christ. He is the only way to have peace. He cannot stand our sinfulness, our unrighteousness, and only He can make us holy, blameless, and above reproach. But as a result of that, when he makes us righteous before him through his Son, it stirs us to want to live a life of holiness and blamelessness and being above reproach. We should want to live in such a way that people are not turned off with our lifestyle and away from our Savior because of the way we live, but are rather attracted to our Savior. And so that really is our motivation. But the purpose is so that we can be right with God, holy, blameless, and above reproach. He has provided the offering of His Son. And fourth, the posture. The posture to receive this peace is found in verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting away from the hope of the gospel. You heard it. It was proclaimed in all creation. And he says, I, Paul, am a minister. I am here designed by God as a servant of His to proclaim this message so that you can have hope. But the only way to find this hope is not just by hearing about it and saying, well, it's yours, but you need to humbly accept it by faith. I'm so glad that the Lord didn't make a way that was impossible for us. Go get educated. Get a master's degree. Get a doctorate degree. And when you come back, we'll see if you're educated enough to be right with me. No, I'm glad it's not based on that. Education, or which family you were born into, or which country you were born into. I'm glad that it's through simple faith in Jesus Christ alone that we can have peace. And so I think what the author here, Paul, is saying is, now go live in light of the peace that God has provided for you through Christ. Obviously, accept it by faith. But go live in light of that. You were an enemy, but now you're at peace. In fact, we're not just at peace. We have the opportunity to be His child. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. But God graciously took the initiative to provide it for us. How can we live with a ho-hum attitude toward the cross? How can we just live for ourselves and treat others poorly in light of how Christ has treated us? Remember, be humble, be thankful, and live for Him in light of the peace that He's provided for us. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, You are so gracious to us. You are an unbelievably merciful God. When we remember, as we all need to remember, when we remember what wretches we were in sin, we were dead in trespasses and sins, and yet You looked down at us in our terrible estate, and You said, I love You, and I'm going to send My Son to die because I love You so much. And Father, please, may it spur us on to make a decision for You, to trust You by faith, and then to live for You. And so, Father, we embrace the cross today. We say thank You for doing that for us. Help us to live in light of it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.